Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you that you have opened our eyes to see you. If you hadn't chosen to open our eyes, we would be so completely lost. And many of us wouldn't even be here this morning. But by your grace and by your so amazing love, you chose us, you called us, you redeemed us, and with patience beyond our understanding, you continue to work with us and draw us and show us and reveal yourself to us. And so, Father, we come before you this morning, humbling ourselves before you and your mighty hand. We, in our spirits, we prostrate ourselves before you. You are the great and awesome God. You are everything, and we're nothing except that you love us. And we ask that you feed us this morning. By your grace, would you open our minds, open our ears, give us appetite, give us thirst, and would you, by your Spirit, minister your words of life to our spirit so that you can be glorified and exalted as you should. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this past week, as you know, you've heard me mention this often, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and anymore I can't tell you. There's some of them that I remember by name, but it's... So I was listening to some guy, and he was talking about something, and he was reading from Exodus chapter 3, and when he mentioned the burning bush, you recall the story of the burning bush, that's when there was kind of a flash of light, no pun intended, burning bush, and I see light, but it went from there. And so let me just read for you Exodus chapter 3, the first six verses. Actually, before I read that, quick Bible timeline. I know all of you Bible scholars, you're like, I can give you the Bible timeline. But just a refresher, I'm going from memory on this, about 2500 B.C. Is the time of Moses. If I know, 1400, 2500. I don't know when it was. But it was long after creation and long before Jesus was born. So creation, we've got Adam, then to Noah, the flood from Noah, then Abraham, 430 years, Abraham to Moses. And then you recall the story of Moses, how that he had no peers because the Egyptians had decided to murder all the male Israelites. But God saw fit to save Moses out of that, and even to raise Moses in Pharaoh's house. And here Pharaoh had said, we're going to kill all the Egyptian, the male children, but he's raising one. God's like that. And so Moses, at age 40, now here he was, it tells us actually in the Bible that he was mighty in deed, in word and in deed. So he was a powerful man in Egypt, being raised in Pharaoh's home. And from this position, he knows that he's a Hebrew, and he knows that deliverance is coming. And you recall the story, he thought that deliverance was coming through him. He was right, but not at, he was wrong with his timing. And so at age 40, after with his own bare hands beating a man to death and burying him in a shallow grave, he's on the run. Great man of God. Raised up to be a deliverer, he's a murderer on the run from the law. And but God's like that. So this fleeing murderer marries a foreigner and has children, and he for 40 years he's a shepherd, and he's tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he's in the wilderness. What a picture of a man of God, fleeing a murderer, in shame, exiled, marrying outside the faith. He's run amok. But, you know, God's like that. God has a plan. And so then we come to Moses at age 80. He became an octogenarian. But at age 80 is when God called him for great work. You, Mom, you might want to stay out of wilderness with the sheep for just a little bit. But we read this in Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. It's a fantastic passage, and it's difficult to stop at verse 6. What you recall from Exodus chapter 3, this is where God calls Moses to deliver God's people from Israel. This is that great revelation where God says, I am that I am. And so if you're going to speak on Exodus chapter 3, are you going to talk about the call? God waiting until a man is 80 years old? God calling a murderer? Are you going to talk about this revelation of I am that I am? Are you going to talk about all the events that took place in chapter 3? It's hard to set all that aside. But while listening to that message, what I heard was that God told Moses, don't come near here. Stay back. Because the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. Now, before I talk about this holy ground, I need to make an observation. Did you notice in verse 2, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And all of you Bible scholars know, anytime in the Old Testament that you see the word the in front of angel of the Lord, it's not just some white thing with wings. When it says the angel of the Lord, who is it?
Jesus.
Jesus himself. This is a Christophany. This is an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. I can remember a couple of other times when Jesus appeared in the Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow when the world played the flute and the lyre and the zither. When the world played their tune and expected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down or to dance when they played their tune, they wouldn't bow. As the song says, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. But when the king looked in that fiery furnace, who did he see? He saw a Christophany. He saw the Lord Jesus. And so there's this combination of seeing the Lord Jesus and fire. When you read about Gideon's parents finding out that Gideon was going to be a Nazirite, there was an appearance of the angel of the Lord. And during that appearance of the angel of the Lord, there was a sacrifice placed on a rock. And that was consumed by fire. Here we have again a Christophany and that appearance of fire. Here is the appearance of the Lord Jesus the angel of the Lord, and here is, again, this consuming fire. So I find that there's a link between a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially where you don't expect to see him, and this blaze of fire. And that blaze of fire is often linked with the Holy Spirit. And so you really have a picture of the Trinity here, because not only is there this blazing fire, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord Jesus, but you see here that it says in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to Moses. So here we have God the Father calling to Moses, because the angel of the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in this fire, all three are here calling out to Moses. And he says, don't come near here, because the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. Take your sandals off your feet. I've seen times in our worship service when people really felt that more than just he's in our midst because he's in where there's two or three in his name, but it was almost as though his presence were tangible in the room. I've seen people slip the shoes off their feet. I've seen people during our times of worship kneel while others are standing. But here God tells Moses that the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to mention about this story. So Moses, for 40 years now, has been a shepherd. Jethro, his father-in-law, has sheep, and Moses is taking care of the sheep. I wonder if Moses, having remembered what it was like to be mighty in word and deed, probably, I think the historians would tell us that he was a military leader in Egypt. The Bible doesn't say that, but if he had been leading men for many years in Egypt and now he's leading sheep, I wonder if he's seen the correlation between how he led his soldiers and how he leads sheep and how stupid both can be. And but for now at 80, he's prepared to lead people like us. And but as a shepherd, he would be familiar with this piece of ground. He would be familiar with the fact that this is Horeb, the mountain of God. Well, what a name. This is Sinai. This is where he would meet with God and receive the Ten Commandments. But he's at this place, the mountain of God. And for 40 years prior, I'm guessing, you won't find this in Scripture, this is Paul Greenlee's conjecture, I'm guessing for the 40 years prior, he probably walked by that same place. He probably picked up a sheep or a lamb who was sitting near that same bush. And it was a common piece of ground. It was wilderness. It was ground that had been walked on and disregarded. It wasn't like some great city. It wasn't like some city along the Nile that everybody wanted to go to. This is wilderness. It's common ground. It's worthless. What made it holy? The presence of God. Amen. And you know, we read in Genesis, God created everything that exists. And much of what exists, he created with a word. Let there be light. Let the light and dark be separate. Let the trees be formed. Let the plants, all these things. He spoke them. But you know, he didn't speak man into existence. He formed him. And literally, the word tells us that when he made woman, he made her, he fashioned her, he built her. But he made man out of what? Dust of the earth. Common ground. When we despise one another and we call each other a dirt bag, perhaps we're not far off. That's not the sound bite for this morning. But he formed us out of the dust of the earth. And what is it that makes you holy? It's the presence of the Lord. It's the exact same thing. Now, I'm not telling you that the reason God recorded Exodus chapter 3 is so that you would understand what makes you holy. But it's a very good illustration. Because that piece of ground was just a common piece of ground. It had been walked on. It had been spat upon. It had been abused, probably. Many years had gone by, so it was just a piece of dirt. But God showed up. God was on that piece of ground, evidenced by the blazing fire that did not consume the bush. And from that, Moses was attracted. Moses said, there's something odd here. I've seen this piece of ground before, been here a million times. That's not in your scripture. That's my projection. But he saw this bush that was burning, and perhaps he'd seen burning bushes before, but as any little tumbleweed that catches on fire, it's not going to last long. But this one continued. And so it drew his attention. And he goes and has this encounter with God. And I would say that the one of the biggest points here is that God initiated a revelation of himself. Now, this is a great revelation, and it is a calling for Moses. And later, this same place will be a greater revelation, because this is where Moses will receive the law. And when we look at the law, it's not just us hearing about the things that we shouldn't do and can't do and all this kind of. It is a revelation of God's character. When he told the children of Israel that you can't have a garment made of cotton and wool together. There's nothing sinful about cotton and wool together. It might be a little scratchy, but there's nothing sinful about it. But what it is, he's laying down the principle of separation, that we are to be separate from the world. So that's why you didn't plant two different crops in the same place. You didn't put garments together with two different kinds of cloth. It was a principle of separation. And so in his law, there's this great revelation that takes place of who he is and how he is. And that takes place here. But as we wind this down, there's just two points that I want to make. One is that for the believer, for the person that God has called, drawn into relationship with himself, the Bible tells us quite clearly in many places that Christ is in you, that God moves inside, lives inside the believer in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so now the Holy Spirit, that consuming fire, is inside the believer. And I believe that when, as we receive the revelation of the Lord, as Moses saw here, and we didn't even read the rest of the story, read it this afternoon and throughout the week, but there's this massive revelation, and again, in this place, it just gets bigger and bigger. But with this revelation of the Lord, there's this blazing fire, and the Lord Jesus, who is God, appearing. And I want to say that the outcome of this is testimony. And again, it's just an observation looking at what happened in the text. What happened in the text, Moses was going about his day like he normally does. You know, it's time to make the donuts. It's time to feed the sheep. And he's out there in the wilderness doing his shepherding thing. And all of a sudden, he sees this thing, and it draws him. And when he draws, he has a... When he responds to that drawing, he has a revelation of the Lord that changes, literally changes the course of his life, changes the course of world history. The same is true with the believer who has a revelation of the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Holy Spirit, the indispensable principle bringing about more revelations of Christ, but burning in your life will cause the world to say, something's not right about that guy. Or I notice something different. And it'll make them pause. It'll make them turn aside. And at the moment that they pause and they turn aside because they've seen this thing, God is worshipped and God is glorified. Whether that person comes to relationship or not, the fact that they have seen the life of Christ in a bush that should have been consumed, The fact that someone sees Christ in you, God is glorified. Because that only happens when it works. When you have responded to His call and you have yielded your life to Him, you've given Him your yes. When the Spirit says, I want you to go here and do this thing, or I want you to shut your mouth, or I want you, instead of complaining about this, start praying about this, or I want you to, when you go, yes. Yeah. And when your flesh goes, yeah, but you know what I want to do? I want to, and you go, no, 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 no. But when that happens, it's working and God is glorified. And that's a bush that should have been consumed. How many of you have met people whose lives are absolutely consumed by whatever their thing is? Either their thing is greed, or their thing is arrogance, or their thing is bitterness, or their thing, whatever their thing is, their life is consumed with it. When your life is consumed with Christ, it's a blaze of glory, and it's a testimony. And there are those who will see that, and they'll say, I need to turn aside. And right here from the text, it tells us in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, that was the trigger. When the Lord saw, now it's not that God didn't know, and God said, oh, wait a minute, he turned around to look? Angel of the Lord, let's talk to him. It was no surprise to God, but God is calling out the trigger. The trigger is, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called. And when people turn aside because they see the blaze of the Holy Spirit and the life of Christ coming out through you, that's when God will call. Will they all come? In other words, will they all turn to Christ? We know the answer is, unfortunately, no. But it's a glorious thing that you and I, like this fleeing, shameful murderer, that God called to be a deliverer, that God called, one man that God called to change the course of history. Imagine if Pharaoh's plan had worked and Moses had died. Now, it wouldn't have been a problem for God. We would have been reading about somebody else. But through one man. And I look around the room and it's full of one man. Every single one of you, there is no reason at all that God can't use you in as mighty a way as he did Moses. There's no limit, and age certainly is not a limit. And it doesn't require purity. Moses flat out, he flat out beat a man to death with his bare hands. Anybody in the room here, don't raise your hand. Anyone in here actually murdered somebody with your own bare hands? If you did, do you think that you would feel qualified? God called me to ministry. You know, we've done things, lesser things, in our scale. We've done lesser things, and we feel shame about it. And we feel like, well, you know, I would expect God to use brother so-and-so. I mean, look, Stephen Kong. God would use somebody like Stephen Kong. Of course he would. But not me. I mean, there's this. But God's like that. He calls and he fills. And it's his life. It's not yours. And that's why all you need to give him is your yes. And you got to know him. You can't say yes to someone that you don't know. Yeah, and you're going to know him in the Word. You're going to know him in being around, I call them fat sheep, no offense, but those who, like Ed and Stephen, and brothers, saints, who have walked with the Lord, who you can very clearly see that blaze of fire. You'll learn of the Lord in being around them, but primarily in the Word. So this morning, as we wrap up, the point is, what made that ground holy is what makes you and I, the common ground, holy. It's the presence of God. And what causes a testimony is when the life of God is ablaze, and when the life of Christ is expressed through you by you saying yes to him. When that happens, he is glorified, people are drawn, lives are changed, and it probably, in a less obvious way, it probably changes the course of history. So for his glory, let's give him our yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you so much for your mercy. You truly are so amazing. And Father, I pray that you continue to expand this word within our hearts and minds. You are everything. We pray that you would continue to draw people to yourself through us, continue to open our eyes to see you, continue to draw us into your word, draw us into that relationship. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.